This episode is brought to you by Home Team Inspection Service. When you partner with Home Team, you're getting more than a home inspection. You're delivering the home team experience. With a team approach, fast turnarounds, and package options that include home inspection warranties, Home Team helps real estate pros stand out. Plus, many locations now offer pay at close, giving your clients flexibility when they need it most. Schedule your next inspection with confidence at hometeam.com.
Any group that has transcended and kind of made it to a different rung of opportunity, of wealth, of ownership, that started with somebody kind of going out of their way and willing to both take the time and put some risk and effort into helping people where there was not a direct return on their investment time.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you find yourself today. My name is Julia Lachey, and you have now tuned in for the Color of Money podcast. We are tuning in for another great episode, and I'm joined by my co-host, Daniel Dixon. And Daniel Dixon and I have the joy of having a very special guest on today's episode. We call him Harrison Beecher. If you know anything about the East Coast, or you've been on social media ever, or you know anything about real estate, you've probably heard of the Coalition Properties Group. This trio is a powerful group of community service-oriented individuals. Previously on one of the episodes, we spoke with Ryan Butler about owning investment property. And today we're going to talk to Harrison Beecher about building blocks, real estate, community, and impact. And so get your notebook out. Anytime Harrison's talking, you probably want to take some notes on how you can make an impact in your community. And we're looking forward to this conversation. So Harrison, I did not read your bio, but I would love if you could take time to introduce yourself to everyone in the audience. And please don't be humble. This is not the environment for humble. I know people like yourself like to get on and say, oh, I'm just a guy, I sell some houses. But you are a powerful person in the real estate industry. So please introduce yourself to us fully.
Thank you so much, Julie. And I appreciate that permission to flex. I will try not to flex too hard. No, but I'm one third managing partner of Coalition Properties Group. Since we came together as a team in 2019, we've served over 1,700 families for $650 million in sales volume in D.C., Maryland, and Northern Virginia. And the most exciting part is that through our efforts, through our entrepreneurial spirit, we've found a way to facilitate over $1 million in charitable contribution. In the midst of doing it all. And our mission as a sales team is to be the bridge to our community for all things real estate, lifestyle, and wealth building. And that's really tied into this conversation today, because what we've been able to build through taking that thoughtful entrepreneurial business building mindset is just a way to incorporate giving back into everything we do. So in addition to the sales team, I'm the 2 times past president of the Greater Capital Area Association of Realtors. That's 13,000 realtors in Montgomery County in Washington, D.C. And then I am on the executive team and will be president of the District of Columbia Association of Realtors. And for NAR, our favorite 3-letter word right now out in the world, I am the chair for the 2024 Meetings and Conference Committee and serve on the Culture and Transformation Committee. So I do a bunch of stuff that doesn't pay me, and then I find time to do the things that actually earn a living for my beautiful family, which consists of me, my wife, a 2-year-old, and a 5-month-old baby here in D.C. So that's me.
Wonderful. So tell us, Harrison, you mentioned all of those wonderful things. Your team specifically does some pretty impressive things in your community. Did you mention your foundation? You have a foundation, don't you?
We do got to get it back compliant, but we found other conduits to still be giving back outside of the foundation.
Talk to us a little bit about that. When you say we found conduits to give back, like what?
Yeah. So what's really cool about the energy that Keith, Ryan, and I have together is that in our own little buckets, we've always been really passionate about finding ways to give back. And everybody says that, oh, I love giving back. I like to do things, you know, I like to give back to my community. But we've been intentional about saying, how can we not just give where we live, but set an example through the primary activity of real estate is making your world bigger and connecting with people. I always think of how can I make connections between the things that are going to help build our business and, you know, create the lifestyle that we're trying to build and support our team and the community service organizations, the local government, the other opportunities around us all the time that just need a little bit of help and need some eyeballs. I think of it in a couple main buckets, Julia, is that organizations in your community often need help with a few things. It's either time, like people volunteering. They need your talent and thought to help them operate better, or they need your treasure. They need your money. So we always ask, if we're getting people together, how can we find out what the community organizations close to us need? And then how can we be the bridge that helps introduce our clients and the people around us who are interested and have a desire to try to give back with the organizations that need it? Like, we found that they're often right next to each other, and all it takes is a little bit of intentionality to make that intro. So some of the main types of organizations we've focused on in DC are ones that are dealing clearly with housing insecurity or people who are unhoused. So, you know, that was a very easy thing for us to do and show up. The next is education and youth helping out. And the other is just kind of supporting communities of color that have impacted us in a positive way. And a lot of those we've either connected to through our alumni associations, through our faith-based organizations we're a part of. And it really was not that complicated. We just looked around and said, what are some organizations that either we have given to or have volunteered with, or that our community, our clients, the people that we're engaging with, work for, are a part of, and give back to? And we ask them. And by asking that question, it's really been powerful to see who raises their hand, what organizations kind of come to us. And by being intentional with asking them how we can help them, we have seen a lot of return on that investment, not just from a business opportunity standpoint, but from a growth and, you know, relationship growth standpoint, because we're just learning so much more about our communities by asking, how can we help?
I love that.
That's fascinating. How have you guys always started with that journey in being philanthropic? Is that right? Philanthropic?
Philanthropic.
There we go. Has it always been a mission for you guys? Is that something that came after you guys started being wildly successful, or is this something that is innately part of who you guys are?
What's interesting is I think it was one of my first family reunions or mega camps when I learned about having a good buyer consult and this idea that you should pledge to give back a percentage of your GCI to a community organization of choice. Like, I feel like I saw that in somebody's buyer presentation about a decade ago. And I was like, oh, well, that makes sense. And the math on that is actually not as much money as people might think, right? Like, it's more about the effort and the thought to communicate that I want to give back and that I want my clients to have a conduit for giving back. So, you know, giving back has been a core part of our business strategy and what we communicate out to folks. And just the bigger we've gotten, Dan, the opportunities have increased because we've had kind of a bigger pot of both money to work with and just had more people in our world that quite frankly brought us other opportunities to give back. Because when you say that out loud, it is always interesting who kind of raises their hand that you're connected to that says, well, I've got something you should maybe consider giving back to or that you should know about. So it's something that we always had, you know, I've always had kind of the heart to, and then in KW kind of helped reinforce that should be a part of my business plan about a decade ago. And then just when you say something enough and do something enough, it kind of naturally expands to this year where we had our most recent client event. We were able at one night, raise over $10,000 for this one charity just from having an awesome party, you know, and it just kind of continues to grow from that. And we want to get it to where it's 100,000 in one night, in one day. And I know we can do that with kind of our community support.
How do you determine where the money goes? Like, how do you pick a charity? That's one thing we've struggled with inside of our organization is like, well, some people care about dogs, other people care about kids, other people care about housing for families. Like, how do you decide which one these go to?
That's a great question, man. I'd argue that if it's something that you're going to be giving funds to, raising money for and giving, you know, relatively large checks, the infrastructure of that organization should be pretty well established. So, you know, for us, that means we are focused on groups that have a track record that we have actually seen kind of the work that they have done out in the community. And not saying that newer organizations don't need support too, but I think if I'm going to get other people's money and my own directed towards something, I want to know that they're going to know what to do with it. So our partner for this year is an organization called PENDMV, or Promote, Enrich, Nurture, DMV for DC, Maryland, Virginia. And the executive director is, interestingly enough, one of our VIP clients, and he was my high school football team co-captain. So it's a guy I've known for over 22 years. He's worked as a pastor, has worked as a consultant. I know his track record of what he does in the community. And I reached out to him and say, hey, man, we're looking to be much more strategic with our community partnerships. I see what you do. You help kids in schools. You are, you know, working where we work. How can I support you? And, you know, finding out what his total operating budget was for the year and what he needed, the lift was not that big. And within a couple events, we're able to really supplement and almost double his yearly, you know, dollar amount that he needs to operate so that he can expand. But Dan, I say the first thing is making sure they're well organized and have their stuff together. And I don't think you have to go seek out anything brand new. Start with the people you're already in touch with, your close friends, your family, your church, your whomever. There's most likely an organization that's established there that you can just show up and support. And you have to approach them with both curiosity and the intention to help, not with the assumption that, you know, we can come in and save or be the one that fixes it all. Just say, hey, what do you need and how can we support you?
Well, that's interesting, those buckets,
let me
right?
Gears a little bit. Say it again, Dan.
Oh, you're good. Go ahead. I like the buckets that he put it in, because that's a struggle, like the treasure, the knowledge, or the time. And I think when you break it down like that, it makes it really easy to see what do I have to give, who needs what, and then you can be more strategic with it.
Yeah. Well, that's actually kind of where I was going to pivot to. So everybody may not have an established enough business to be thinking about doing, what do you call it, Daniel, philanthropic? How do you call it, philanthropic? Whatever. Well, everybody may not be at that space in their business, but when you put it in buckets like that, and you said maybe even education, talk to us a little bit about how we can use the knowledge that we already possess to help educate our community to build wealth.
No, it's such a great question, Julie, and I actually challenge that. I think that anybody at any business size does have the opportunity, because what is our main job as people that work in real estate is to lead generate, is to talk to more people, is to be in community, to be in touch with folks. And you can have an impact on community organizations by just letting other people know that they exist, period. So before I had a thriving business with enough additional resources to give money, to cut big checks and bring the Prices Right big check to our events, I had something as simple as in my buyer guide, I had the logos and a website or some information about five organizations I was passionate about. So even if somebody didn't hire me, in that one interaction, I told them about some organizations that they should know about. It's important to me that they're doing great work in the community. You should know about them too. And even if you don't hire me, please stay in touch and consider them. So I think that people can give at any level, but it's important to kind of pick one, hopefully, or pick a few that are close to, you know, that phrase, like we say for Red Day, give where you live, right? Like, where somewhere that's doing some work close to where you are, and it's probably closer than you think if you just got to take a little bit of time to look for it and identify.
Yeah. Now, about the education part, though, how can anybody, any at any level, in any space, you know, provide that level of education in the community? I know you all and your team, you do that very, very well.
So again, think about your Rolodex, the people that are already in touch with you, the people that have knowledge that can be helpful in other spaces. One example I can list is we have an organization we supported last year called the DC Dream Center. The DC Dream Center provided wraparound kind of community service and location-based support for Southeast DC. And it's a physical building where both adults, young adults, and kids can go and spend time and just have a safe space to be. In that space, we asked them, had they ever done any type of financial literacy training for both the high school kids that were there and their parents? And their question was no. If I'm not a financial expert and I'm not someone that is comfortable giving financial literacy training, again, between the resources of financial planners that I know, between lenders, we've got people in our world that have this information. So, Julie, I think it's honestly simpler than we think. The path to doing what it takes to be able to buy a home, super simple, right? Financial literacy 101, checking account, savings account, how credit works. Like, there's pretty core competency information that we interact with every day in our business, that if you just take some of that core competency information and share it with your community organizations, they probably have people there, especially in Black and Brown communities around the country where this information is not disseminated, where you don't get the privilege of having my, you know, auntie, uncle, grandpa, my parents even maybe sharing this info with me. I think we can share, quite frankly, the steps to buying a home, the steps to understanding credit, the steps to understanding digital banking, like simple things can be very impactful in a lot of the communities that we are very close to. And it doesn't have to be more complicated or kind of 2.0 or 3.0. That 1.0 information is a great place to start.
Home Team Inspection Service is changing the way agents and clients experience home inspections.
Their team-based model, streamlined scheduling, and bundled packages, including home inspection warranties, make the process smoother from contract to closing. And with Pay at Close available in many locations, you can give your buyers more peace of mind with less upfront cost. Choose the team that works with yours. Visit HomeTeam.com to learn more.
So Harrison, when we talk about building blocks, right, this is what we're calling this, building blocks and real estate and all of that. And you mentioned, you know, all of these different paths, banking and credit and everything. What would you say is the bottom building block? If we were actually building blocks and using building blocks, and I know those of you who are listening can't see me doing my hands like this, building a block. But if we're actually building blocks, what would the foundation be? And what would the next block be? And kind of like, let's like visually build these blocks. What does that look like?
For sure. Well, I think the first, you know, block and effort that anyone has to put in when they're trying to build a community engagement strategy connected to their business is to really survey what organizations are doing work around you close by right now, right? Like spend a little bit of time and effort to kind of organize who they are and get in touch with them, right? That's kind of step one. If we talked about those three pillars of time, talent, or treasure that you can give back, I think the first piece of giving back, which is easy, is just the time and effort that it takes to both reach out to them, you know, show up, ask for a meeting with them to find out kind of what they like. And this is not 20 organizations. Maybe you find two or three. So I say building block one is like finding the organizations, identifying who those stakeholders, decision makers, executive directors, XYZ, who they are, and approach them, again, with the spirit of curiosity and wanting to give that says, hey, I am a, you know, active salesperson in the community. I'm running a thriving business. I really want to support all these community organizations close by. And I'm starting with yours. Can you tell me kind of what are the opportunities we have to show up, invite people to volunteer? Like, what do you need as an organization? I think that's building block one. From there, you can get more information about honestly what they will need. And again, for staying within our lanes between real estate, you know, financial literacy, money, like the things that we do every day to help people, the same info I'd share in a buyer or seller consult. You can really take pieces of that as the type of information that I think would be a great initial offering for education to whatever that community needs. But you got to ask them first. You got to identify them first, and then you got to ask them kind of what they need. And what's really powerful, Julia, about that is when I ask the question, I'm filled with curiosity. Guess what is going to happen in the mind of that person that I'm reaching out to and asking? I become someone that's not just a salesperson, but I'm different. Right. Because I'm choosing to give back. And that's the, you know, 3.0 part of this is like when I'm doing that with enough folks, this in itself is a form of lead generation. It really is. But you're giving back because you're learning kind of what that organization needs.
You know, you're really coming from a different mindset than a lot of people have. I was at a gala for an event the other night. And one of the guys said, yeah, I got out of this because I just didn't really see the value in it for me. And I found that fascinating, you know, that he thought that this organization that was doing political advocacy for their community and providing resources and tools and education to the community at large, that he felt like they weren't doing enough for him. So he wasn't interested in supporting because it was the what's in it for me mentality. And you're coming from a totally different mindset and you're thinking totally differently than, I wasn't really seeing what was in it for me. So I didn't do that. I didn't see an immediate return on my investment. So I didn't give my time there. I didn't talk to me about, because you're a pretty successful guy, right, Harrison?
Yeah.
So I feel like there's something about the mindset that is associated with people who think like I'm giving because I can and I want to and I should. Versus the mindset of somebody saying, I give my time, but what's in it for me?
I feel like, you know, it's Easter week and all my last couple of weekends in church, our pastor was really going hard about tithing when you don't have it. Tithing, it's going to come. Giving, it's going to come back, right? Like that's, I feel like that's a concept anyone that's ever been to church has like heard of is that, you know, when I give it, like there's never the right time to give if I'm waiting to have enough to feel like it's okay. And I think that concept applies exactly to what we're talking about here in terms of choosing to give back to your community, in terms of choosing to carve out time that, let's be real, you don't get paid for, that there is no direct line from doing this to making money. But when you do it enough and when it becomes a part of the activity, a part of your identity, even a part of your mission statement, if you make it that way, there will be the return on that investment, like without a, the shadow of a doubt, because the one thing that we need to do as any type of salesperson, if I'm on the ground selling, if I'm a broker, if I'm, you know, productivity coach, or any role within an office, is make my world bigger and build new connections with people. So, I mean, I'd encourage folks that, you know, while you may not see that immediate ROI, or you might not see the referral come in the next day from what you're giving back, when you continue to show up, and you continue to show up with that same entrepreneurial spirit I'm bringing to go find business and go find money out there to organizations that need help and need support, you will get back not just the referral business, but for me, I've actually learned more about how intricate things within the community work. Like that's, we were talking the other day about some of the stuff I do with NAR. Like I don't get paid for any of that, but the knowledge that I've been able to gain has helped not just me be a better realtor, but me be a better person in the community that I can, you know, be communicating with my other organizations I'm a part of about. So I think you just have to have a tithing like mindset that when I am giving back, while there may not be a straight line back to, you know, a return on that investment for me, I'm always making my world bigger, and I will gain back something in one of those buckets as long as I continue to give with that positive intention and, quite frankly, faith that it's the right thing I should be doing. And, you know, the people around me are going to see and notice that, because the same commission breath that we tell our salespeople to avoid, you have to have that mindset when you're showing up to do anything in the community. You can't show up with that feeling like you are, you know, connecting the direct dots to get the what's in it for me question in place. You just got to show up with both curiosity, you know, earnest intention and effort and wanting to help. And the good things come from it. And I can say that from experience, but I think you got to do it to feel that in your life too.
So if you're a newer agent, made a couple of bucks, don't feel quite successful yet, but you really want to start donating time, energy, effort, knowledge, or money, Where do you start? How do you identify where to go? What questions should you ask? How do you get the ball rolling? What's the first step?
There's a really good grid in the Ignite training packet. I feel like it's like Finding Leads or one of those early, like second or third Ignite trainings. It's like a grid that forces you to write out all the different relationships in your life and the different places that you have community. Like think of like visually write out your community. What is that? Is it your alumni association, high school or college? Is it your Greek organization, if you're a part of one? Is it your kids' school, preschool, faith community, sports team? Like, think about the places where you already have community and relationship and connection. And then think about the warm relationships that exist there. Pay attention, maybe do a little bit of stalking on social media, to those folks in those circles and the organizations that they're a part of. Right? Like, I think that's the easiest way to kind of identify, Daniel, a space where you want to begin your community give back, your community engagement strategy. The other option is look at places that you may have given money to before, right? If there's something that I felt good one time, someone sent me a thing in the American Cancer Society or, you know, United Negro College Fund or, you know, whatever something I've given money to before is, have you actually looked to reach out to them and find a local contact to ask either what events they have coming up? What is on the calendar? What can you show up to and learn more about? For your local realtor association, every local realtor association has some type of charitable community give back. Like, it does not have to be that hard. Like, start with the closest relationships and people you talk to most, then maybe go one circle outside of that. Identify organizations first, show up to those organizations and reach out to them with curiosity and intention to learn more about them and then help. And then take action to help in some way. And it doesn't have to be with money to begin with, Daniel. What did I say? Time, talent, treasure. You can show up to begin with. A food bank, your local food bank. I don't think they've ever turned away a volunteer that wanted to help in some way. Don't overcomplicate it, but just identify something, show up, and then show up again. Because that's a really important part, especially with anything with youth, kids, and giving back in, you know, disenfranchised communities. I think the consistency of presence is important. Like, showing up once is nice, but if I can get multiple people to show up 4, 5, 6 times over a calendar year, like, that makes a big difference too. So I would say don't overcomplicate it. Identify and show up.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's out here doing God's work right before Christmas or right before Easter. Look at that.
I think the conversation is important, and somebody might be listening going, what does this have to do with me building wealth? I tuned into this podcast because I'm trying to learn how to make some more money, and I'm trying to learn how to make some more wealth. But in one of our very first podcasts, it might have been episode 3 with Jay Papazan, we talked about the 5 areas of wealth. And even the fact that wealth isn't necessarily what people always think. There's wealth in relationships. We talked about the wealth in relationships. We talked about wealth with your physical self, physical wealth. You know, there's all these different elements of wealth. I think that being involved in community and having a sense of community in itself is a form of mental health. And it's a form of kind of just getting out there and being involved and being connected to something. And so even if participating in some of these organizations you've been talking about, or going out and teaching or doing education or educating people, it's connecting you with other people, which we all learned after COVID. We so desperately need, right, to be connected to other people, even if it's not the financial wealth that people might be thinking they were expecting to hear, like, how do I make money from this? It really does add the value of wealth and relationships to your life, and the value of wealth and just being attached and connected in that way in a community. What do you think, Daniel?
I think by just giving and being having that selfless act, we always call it inside our organization that the real estate gods will reward you. The agents that keep prospecting and keep lead generating, somehow they get business over time and things fall into your lap. But it's just like just doing the work, helping people, being selfless. I think when you look at it, when you've done the work like that and you look at it years later, you realize there is that not that direct dot, but it was one relationship that maybe led to a sale, that maybe led to a referral that never would have existed if you hadn't donated your time or donated your effort.
I appreciate that. I agree. So Harrison, I guess in the closing here, if we were to ask you, what's the one thing that you would share with the listeners that they could do to really build blocks and build community and have an impact on the community, what would you say that one thing would be?
I'd say remember that, again, if we're talking about helping Black and brown folks, we're talking about, you know, the color of money specifically that has been green and white for a lot of history. Any group that has transcended and kind of made it to a different rung of opportunity, of wealth, of ownership, that started with somebody kind of going out of their way and willing to both take the time and put some risk and effort into helping people where there was not a direct return on their investment in time. So, you know, I think it is incumbent upon, you know, people of color now that have figured out, that have made it, or people that are passionate about supporting other communities that are still disenfranchised, that you gotta put some thought and effort and time into giving back. And when you do it, the return on your time and investment will be there. It may not always be the direct return, as we've talked about, but it is something that we have time for if we choose to make time for it. And kind of your life and the other direct money-making opportunities around you will expand and will literally come to you. Like, you will attract them if you are choosing to give time, talent, treasure, and effort to folks that need it most. I think you got to start with the intention, start with the understanding that this is what we are kind of called to do and what we should do when we've been given things and we've had blessings, had opportunities come to us. It really sucks to just hold those to yourself and not pay it forward or give back in a way. And when you do, the return on that investment will be exponential in many ways. And I can speak from experience of seeing what we've done. And hopefully what we do out in the community and world does inspire other folks to try it and to, you know, give a little bit more. And if a lot of folks give a little bit more, it's going to make a huge difference.
Yeah,
I agree. Thank you so much. I love that. So beautifully said, too. Appreciate you. Always appreciate you, friend. Well, I don't have any other questions. Daniel, do you have any final words, final thoughts?
No, I think it just leads selflessly. Like, the wealth will come, but we can't lead with wealth. We can't lead with our selfish desires. How do we help continue to build others, grow more, teach, learn, train, all the things to help our communities grow to then fast forward this 10, 15 years from now? And really start seeing the seeds of that blossom.
Absolutely. Well, friends, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Color of Money podcast, where we have transformative conversations to help you earn more, learn more, and build well. We'll see you next time. Follow the Color of Money podcast today and get notified when new episodes are released weekly.
Be part of this transformative listening experience.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not KWRI and its affiliates. and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information.